I don't understand what's going on here.
This is G3.
All you need is the knowledge.
Let's go!
Hello and welcome to G3, Games, Gadgets and Gizmos on BFBS Radio 2. My name's Dave Raven, and in the first edition of 2006, I think we've all heard of fortune cookies, but I meet the girl who invented forfeit cookies. The best-selling gadget magazine in the world is called Stuff. We meet the UK editor, Michael Brook, and talk to him about the gadgets and things that have floated his boat in the last 3 or 4 months. Also in the new year, our thoughts tend to turn to exercise and improving our body. I'm going to speak to Martin from Guillaume, who's got an exerciser for the lungs. And we open this month's programme once again with thoughts of exercise. If you're training for a marathon or climbing the Inca Trail, you're going to be pounding the streets. And of course it means that your mobile phone or your MP3 player or any one of the many devices you want to carry on your person is very difficult to actually carry with any safety. And I'm at Alexandra Palace and the stand is called MPAC. And it seems to me it looks like a very clever clip-on device in which you can attach any form of electronic or other gadget.
In essence, it's called an MPAC. And an MPAC is designed for any type of personal accessory that you may have. It's got a flat surface and that you want to carry in a different way. And when we talk about personal accessories, the main two that spring to mind are MP3s, in whatever format, be it iPod, be it Sony, be whatever one it might be. And then we have mobile phones. So those two are our two key markets. And it's a brand new way of carrying them. So instead of putting them in your pockets, in a bag or wherever it might be, you can wear them with an instant accessibility clip that allows you to get straight to them when you need to get to them and put them back as well.
Now you're tooled up. Your left arm above the elbow has got your MP3 player, your iPod Nano, posh black one, and your right arm on the wrist has got your mobile phone.
Absolutely.
And you say they're instantly accessible, they just clip on and off, is that right?
Yes, the shame is that your listeners won't be able to see what happens, but if you can hear it, it's just a simple click mechanism. Then I can get to it, I can use it, then I can simply slide it back onto the carrier, click it back, and then it's back in place. And that's the joy of the product. If your listeners want to see it, go to our website. It's www.m-pack.co.uk and you can see it in operation and you can see for yourself what the benefits of using the product are. It's brand new. There's nothing else like it in the marketplace.
It's a very busy marketplace. Lots of people endeavouring to bring out add-ons for the MP3 players and mobile phones. What gave you the idea for this particular design?
This particular design was conceived in a potato restaurant in Munich when I was sitting there looking at all the guys walking past and I saw how big their pockets were and everything that was bulging. And initially I thought, well, us guys, we need something that's a little bit akin to a purse or a bag, but we have an aversion to wearing them. Then I looked at tradition, and traditionally our forearms are very male. So I thought, well, how can I combine a bag with something that's male that we will carry? So then it took us on a very, very slow process to combine the two. And this product, again, unfortunately, your listeners can't see. Yeah. Once you've put your things inside it, your credit card or your money, you can actually wear it, but then you can actually take it off and use it. So that was the initial product.
That's a really clever concept. I mean, especially for things like on the beach or whatever. Yeah. You know, you could put the hotel room key and a bit of pocket money and then and still go swimming and things.
Absolutely. And you can also hide it. Because one of the other benefits of wearing an MPAC is that you can wear it anywhere on your body that you wish to.
Of course,
so I'm wearing it. I'm wearing one here. Under my trousers.
On the ankle.
On my ankle. But I can still, if I wish to, access that. So it's the easiest to use security wallet on the market. If you were landing at an airport or in somewhere where you don't really know the area, put your valuables, be it jewellery, credit card, money, into the MPAC compact, slide it onto your ankle. You've still got an accessibility there, but you've got it out of sight, out of mind.
Now that was the first one you came up with. Basically, obviously the thing which makes it so special is that patented slide and then locking clip.
Right.
And you've had to presumably protect that intellectual copyright, have you?
Yeah, at the moment it's gone to the European Patent Office as part of the worldwide patent application. Mm-hmm. And their response to it is that yes, it's patentable.
The fact that you're wearing them on your arm, wrist and ankle must mean that you can buy the actual strap part of it in different sizes for different parts of the body, or is it all one type of strap?
No, it's one thing fits all, because the centre part is universal. And then where you see the MPAC logo, if you just depress the MPAC logo, you can change the strap size. So when you buy one, you and I'll show you one here, you get the centre part, you get three straps of varying lengths, and you get the clips. So everything to go for anybody, be that someone who's young, old, middle-aged, any gender as well, is a, you can use the same thing.
Right.
Because everything interchanges.
Yes.
That one of the key parts of the design is that it should be simple to change.
How easy is it to fix the other part of the clip onto the MP3 player or the telephone?
Well, we're using a specially formulated tape, and it comes supplied with the tape. When you take out your clip, look at the back of the clip, take off the back of the specially formulated adhesive tape, press the adhesive tape onto wherever you want to put it onto your accessory, and then 10 seconds later, it's adhered.
It's done.
Yeah, it's done. It's a done deal.
But the thing is, that means that really you have to sort of work out fairly early on which things you want to fasten onto it.
Absolutely, yes.
You can take it off.
Right. But you have to put a craft knife or a knife through it. You have to cut it, and then you have to peel it away. Because one of the built-in security features is that this is not coming off.
That's right.
Because if it could just come off, then it's not worth having.
Now, we heard the clip very early on when you were demonstrating it. Yes. How robust is it? Say you're jogging, say you're out doing some fairly high-impact training.
Right.
This is not going to jump off or anything?
No. I mean, one of the things we've done quite extensively is to test the product. Mm. And one of the very final tests, well, not one of the very final, because we've kept on testing. One of the most rigorous tests we put it through was to give 100 to runners in the London Marathon. If you go onto our website, you would see the testimonials from the guys who ran the London Marathon. It's not just for runners, by the way.
No.
But the testimonials say it went around 26 miles, it was comfortable, easily accessible, and it's robust. But if I show you, so you can tell your listeners, if I click that in place, and you can... I'm shaking my hand.
Yeah.
I'm trying my damnedest to get that off my wrist.
And
it will
no
not come.
No.
But then, if I want to access it, I can instantly access it.
They're in boxes here, looking if they're ready to go. So are they actually available on the marketplace now?
They're available, unfortunately, or fortunately for us, unfortunately for our clients.
Yeah.
The very first batches that we're bringing in, the very first production batches are all spoken for.
Right.
Because we've had quite a lot of PR on the product.
I can imagine.
And a lot of hits on the website.
Yes.
But from February, March, they'll be universally available. And if you check our website, you see where the nearest stockists are. We're also putting in a global network of distributors for the product.
Right.
If any of your... a dull area for us at the moment is in Spain, because we don't have a distributor there, but we have got other distributors being put in place throughout Europe, throughout the Far East, and in America.
Yeah.
Now, you'll be able to buy it somewhere in the world from February, March.
Do you plan to sell online from your website as well?
Yeah, we definitely sell online as well, but it is geared towards the UK marketplace, because we're a UK-based company. If somebody came to us from abroad and said, can I have one, by all means we'll sell them one. It's the same price that we sell in the UK, but obviously you then have postage and packing if we haven't got a distributor in that general okay.
And of course you can always ship to BFPO. The other thing is, I think they're going to be perfect for PRI shops. They come in different colours. What sort of retail price are they looking at for them?
Well, it'd be great if we could get them into the shops there, because they're such a good value. Mm. The main compacts, as I said, it has the main carrier, has three straps, two clips, and it retails for $14.95.
Right.
So we're not talking about the product, which is prohibitive. The other things the guys would like is that it's a perfect present. You're going to give somebody something that they definitely haven't got. It also comes in lovely colours. You know, we've got white, black, pink, grey. Comes in the different colours in the compacts. The compacts are great. They're secure. I mean, I'll throw one on the floor for you. It's indestructible. It's an indestructible wallet, and it costs $9.95.
Right,
and it works in conjunction with that with that product. Mm. Spare clips are only £3.
Yeah,
we've now got a new range coming out as well, which is a dash clip for your car.
So that's a phone clipped onto it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's the smallest phone clip for a car. It's totally unobtrusive, and that will then combine with another product to form a belt clip. So it will follow you everywhere.
So basically, the clip is the standard bit, and you can be on your arm, on the car, on the belt, wherever.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great idea. I hope it's really going to work well for you. And give us a website again.
www.m-pack.co.uk. If you pay it a visit, I promise you won't be disappointed.
I'm now about to demonstrate a most interesting device.
This is G3. BFBS. G3 for January, and we're at Earl's Court, and the show called Top Draw. It's getting, the show itself's getting bigger and bigger, and it's getting also more and more difficult to find new things to talk about on G3, because so many of the people who are exhibiting here I've spoken to in the years gone by, but something brand new that I've never noticed before is on the Guyam stall, and I'm talking to Steve Martin. This is like an exerciser for your lungs, isn't it?
Yeah. Basically what Power Breathe is, we've got three types. We've got one which is wellness, which is someone who's got difficulty in breathing or wanting to improve the breath, or someone's a little bit older. The two other types are fitness and sports performance. Fitness may be for someone who goes to health clubs a couple of times a week or just generally likes to tick over and keep healthy. And then sports performance is someone who's serious about the sport or a professional athlete. The way it works is basically you breathe into it twice a day, 30 reps per time, and it increases lung capacity, makes them stronger so you can perform better whatever activity, whether it's swimming, cycling, running, or you know, anything like that.
It looks like a kind of an asthma inhaler. It has an inhaler look about it, but there's nothing inside of it, is there?
Basically how it works is there's a tension spring in there, just the same as you lift a weight sack in a gym. And of the three types, the sort of easier it is to breathe, you go up another tension on it.
So can you adjust it within? So if you say somebody like me who's not particularly fit, I go for the basic one. But then can I, as I get better, improve its strength?
Yeah, it works on a resistance system, and they say 10 notches to work your way up. So I'd advise with anyone who is buying the product to start off at the bottom and work the way up to the top. And as you progress, you can move on to the next, you know, model.
Is it something which, say, in a family, you've got to have one each, or can you all use the same one?
For medical purposes, it's better to have one each, really, because you're breathing into it, and so, you know, for health and germs and that type of thing, really.
How new is the idea? How new is the concept?
I think the idea's been around for quite a long time now, and it's, we do sponsorships with the England rugby team and various cycling teams as well in Great Britain, and we deal with all the different football clubs and everything like that. So the idea has been there in principle for a long time, but we're just trying to take it into more mainstream channels now rather than just professional athletes, and that is why we have the three models available.
And how much does it retail at?
$49.99.
And presumably it doesn't wear out, there's nothing to break or anything like that?
No, I mean, it'll last you for life. For instance, if you go for the fitness one and you work your way through the 10 nodules on it, you just then progress on to the next one, but it'd last you for years to come.
And what sort of improvement, what sort of level of improvement do you get in your lung capacity?
For instance, if you're rowing or something like that, it'd probably help you with an extra 60 metres in a 2,000-metre race, or cycling, and maybe take 3 or 4 seconds off your time. But generally, you know, it keeps you fit, easier for breathing, you know, even day-to-day stuff, walking up the stairs or, you know, walking to work, that type of thing, really. So everybody all sort of trains the outside of the body, but you never think about your lungs, you know, how well you breathe.
I know a couple of people who this year are doing the Inca Trail, and for that, you're not talking about a long distance, it's only about 20 miles, but you're talking about a lot of climbing.
Yeah.
And is this the sort of thing which would be good for that?
Yeah, any outdoor sport, indoor sport, whether it's swimming, cycling, climbing, hiking, anything, even, you know, if you just went for the wellness model and you just play around a golf and stuff, but you do find it quite tiring when you've done your 18 holes, your breathing, improve your breathing, it'll, you know, help hopefully improve your game as well, make you fitter.
And are the effects of doing this felt fairly quickly? I mean, say if you started, can you feel it within a week or two?
Within about 3 to 4 weeks, you'll notice a difference, and you'll feel, you know, a little bit more energetic when you're exercising, that type of thing. So the effects are pretty fast because you're doing it twice a day, 30 times, you know, each time you do it.
Is there a website people can go to learn far more about it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole range is actually featured on our website, powerbreathe.com, which is separate from guyamco.uk. But if you go onto the website, it gives you the full customer details on there and which product and which model, you know, will be applicable to, you know, whatever you think you should be using.
I'm dying to say, Steve, have you got one I can have a breathe into to have a quick go at?
Yes, we have, yeah.
So Steve has set me up with a basic level one, because I'm not that particularly fit, and so we're going to give it a go. I'm going to give it 30 breaths. It's set at the lowest level, so we see how we get on. Do I have to take a deep breath before I start?
Yeah,
or just breathe
basically, just as you'd breathe in normally, with quite a deep lunge into, so it's like and then breathe out like that, and you'll feel the resistance just as you would lifting a weight stack up, the same in the gym. You'll feel just how your lungs work. Probably won't even feel it, depending what level you're at, until maybe you get to your 8 or 9 breaths.
Okay.
But you have got to do 30. But to start off with, you're probably doing less than that, you know, just to try it out.
Let's see how we go. So deep breath in, and away we go.
I'm feeling very little resistance. Is that because you've set it at its lowest level?
Yeah, it's on a very low standard. I mean, the easiest way, when you start off with anything, try it at the lowest level and we'll find out, you know, which rate you should be. You might be better that you're on the fitness model, because with wellness, really, it's if you're probably a little bit older or you're having breathing difficulties or you suffer from COPD diseases. So if you've not got asthma or anything like that and you are fairly fit, you know, even if you just do a lot of walking or something, the fitness model is
okay. Can you take the wellness, the basic one, up to its maximum then? We'll just see how that difference is, to see how strong that is. Because I wouldn't have said I'm particularly fit. Used to be, but, you know, well out of training now, sort of thing. So, okay, Steve's now presumably wound the spring up.
Yeah.
And here we go again. Now, the effect of that is quite dramatic. The out-breath is dead easy, but the in-breath is much, much... It feels like you're sort of trying to breathe in through a sock or something. It stops the breathing in, and you've got to work much harder. So we'll just do it again another couple of times. Yes, it's all on the in-breath, and the out-breath is easy to do. Steve, why don't you have to push with the out-breath? Why is it always on the in?
Because you're lifting it up as you're lifting. You know, it's the resistance, and then you're pushing back down. So it's up. And out again. It's just the easiest principle, really, as I've said, is as you lift weights, you work your way up the bar, and it's just the same principle, but it's your inspiratory muscles, your lungs that you're actually training, rather than your arms or leg muscles.
I would think, judging by what Steve said and judging by the highest level for this, I would think that if you're relatively fit, definitely the fitness, or if you're extremely fit, the sports performance one, but you can try the wellness one. And don't forget, you'll get more information on the powerbreathe.com website. And Steve Martin, thank you.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Is there a mechanic in town?
This is G3.
BFBS.
And finally, from the top draw show at Earl's Court, I passed a stand which said, "Get into mischief." I couldn't resist that. And I'm with Camilla McLean, who's the executive of the company called Mischief. Now, we've all heard about fortune cookies, but I'd never heard about forfeit cookies. And that's what this stand is all about. Camilla, what are forfeit cookies?
Well, what it is, it's based on the idea of a fortune cookie, but infinitely more delicious. It's an Italian sugar curl with a forfeit inside, and it's dipped in delicious single origin chocolate. The idea is basically to sort of draw out your guests and get everyone knowing each other a little bit better. So the original pack is designed for parties and dinner parties. And then we have the intimate pack, which is appropriate to this time of year, for Valentine's Day. That's just for a couple. Mm-hmm. And then we have a hen night version, which you can imagine is quite raucous.
And in the pack, are all of the forfeits different?
Yes, we have over 200 forfeits for the originals, you know, similar numbers for the others as well. So it's unlikely you're going to get repetition. They sort of range from performing a sort of some sort of dance sort of along the lines of Strictly Come Dancing, or you might have to sing something, or you also have silent forfeits, which means you're not allowed to tell anyone what you're up to, but it soon becomes apparent.
Oh, I see. The intimate one, would I be right in assuming that really should be, they should be traded, the forfeit cookies, in the privacy of your own room?
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
And the hen party ones, they're just going to be loud and noisy.
Yeah, fairly. Yeah. But you know, sort of sophisticated. We're not talking about sort of hen parties with wings and L plates. It's got a bit more of a sophisticated edge to it at the same time. But
now, in the pack of the forfeit cookies, how many cookies are there in a pack?
In the original and hen, you have 12, including one which is a group cookie, which is for everybody to perform the forfeit, and that's dipped in white chocolate. And the intimate ones, we give you 8, because I think after that, then you can start making up your own.
Right. You mean enough hilarity and drink has been taken by that stage, you mean?
Yeah, I think the intimate ones, you need people to go off and do their own thing.
That's true, yes. So how does a white cookie work then? Does it just sit there waiting for somebody brave enough to take it?
Well, the idea is that the host or hostess opens that one, and when they feel that everybody needs to get involved, and then... you know, that might be something along the lines of, well, if the host is lucky enough, it might be everybody should take 2 items from the table and put them in the kitchen.
That seems fair.
it's fair. Or there might be something along the lines of sort of everybody has to perform a line dance or sing Doe a Deer and around the table. So, it certainly gets everyone going.
It's your idea, your concept. What gave you the idea?
I was actually having a dinner party for some single friends a couple of years ago, and wanted to think of a way to sort of get people to know each other better. And since the theme is Far Eastern and I was thinking about making some fortune cookies anyway, it sort of the idea just sort of came from nowhere, really. And there we had forfeit cookies.
Right. And the how long have they been available on the marketplace? I mean, that was the idea a couple of years ago. How long has it taken to bring them to market?
Well, we've been established properly since sort of May last year. We found we had sort of tried to make them before, but they're very tricky to make. And so we had to find someone who would have some expertise with the wafers and with the chocolate and what have you. So since May really last year, we sort of did a proper sort of relaunch at Pulse, Pulse show last year.
Oh no, I missed you. You must have been in a quiet corner. <were you?
laughs> Unlikely quiet with Miss G for around.
And how much do they cost? Are they all the same price?
They all sort of retail from around the £8.50 kind of mark.
And you do mail order though.
We do. Our website is getintomischief.com.
And there you can place the order online.
Yeah, you can place the order online. You can have a look at some samples of the forfeits. Usually, once it's someone orders online, it's dispatched the same day. And you should either get it the next day or 2 days later.
I would imagine, looking at them, they're fairly fragile, are they?
Well, they're flow wrapped, which obviously helps with the freshness. But it also means that they sort of have they're quite cushioned.
All right.
So we don't have breakages actually, luckily. But
now the other thing that my recollection of fortune cookies, especially when I was living in Hong Kong, was that you got the fortune, but you didn't really eat the other bit.
You're quite right. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Well, that's one of the most important things that when we were sort of coming up with the concept, we wanted something which people would raid the cupboard for, irrespective of its contents. And I think now I have heard that people actually do eat them in front of the television. and apparently they work very well as a hangover cure.
Really?
Apparently
what?
So.
Just by eating them or by doing the forfeit attack?
I didn't ask, actually. No.
Wait, give me the website again, Camilla, where they can go and have a look at them.
It's getintomischief.com.
That's all one big long word.
One big long word, and it's miss with two S's.
Excellent. Camilla McLean, thank you.
Thank you very much. Computer.
This is G3. BFBS.
And finally, on January's Games, Gadgets and Gizmos, to the headquarters of Stuff Magazine. Congratulations are in order for lots of reasons. First of all, it's changed headquarters. It's now in Teddington Studios on the banks of the River Thames. Secondly, Michael Brook, who was the acting editor, has now been made up to the full editor, and congratulations for that. And thirdly, it's the biggest-selling gadget mag in the UK, which is pretty good stuff, isn't it, really?
Yeah, we've actually been the biggest UK gadget mag for a good year or so, probably more than that, probably about 2 years. But it's not been a kind of a fact we've shouted about, but we're starting to shout about it a bit more now.
And one more thing, and that is, as of December, you had your first podcast, which it's galling to me doing a gadget. So I've been podcasting for about a year and a bit. You went straight in the top 10 of iTunes podcasts.
Yeah, I think we were at number 4 at one stage, just behind Ricky Gervais.
How did you do that?
We have no idea, to be honest. We just flagged it up on the website, and it seems that a lot of people were interested and downloaded it. But it wasn't something that we really, really pushed.
Can you see yourself doing a video podcast?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, we're kind of aiming, obviously, as like a cutting edge technology magazine. We want to be on the cutting edge of everything. So as soon as video podcasts kind of make it into the mainstream psyche, then we want to be kind of the first people out there doing that. So yeah, I mean, basically, we're going to follow the technology, and as soon as the stuff's available, then we're going to try and do that.
Looking back to 2005, you covered extensively before the Xbox came out. You got your hands in one to play with. There seems to have been a sort of a backlash amongst quite a few of the world's press in the last months of 2005. A, that the Xbox perhaps wasn't everything it was cut out to be, and B, you still couldn't get hold of it. Has that changed much?
No, not especially. I know it's really, really difficult to get hold of one still. I think even pre-orders for Christmas, there were a lot of disappointed people. We've got a few in the office, but nowhere near as many as you kind of think. It looks like the supply issue is going to rumble on for a couple of months now. So we'll just have to see. It's disappointing because you'd expect a company as big as Microsoft to get them the units out there as quickly as possible. And I'm sure they're keen to as well to sell them. But at the moment, it's just not happening.
Is it going to have a negative effect on the sort of impact of the Xbox? Because it hasn't been possible for everybody to be able to buy one. And again, some of the reviews have been less than complimentary.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great console. Essentially, the problem is that the games just aren't out there at the moment. They haven't got any real killer games. I think when Halo 3 comes out, that's going to kind of really, really up the ante a bit. But I mean, the same thing happened with the PSP. And it's kind of a hype thing where... All right, there's not the supply out there, but Microsoft maybe aren't too worried about that because people are still, there's still a buzz out there. Still people want to get their hands on it. So it's still kind of hyping it up and getting it press coverage as well. So I think Microsoft won't be too worried that they're not getting as many units as we kind of need out there.
As long as they get the units in the shops before the next wave of other games consoles come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not due to happen until, I believe, end of this year with PS3 and Revolution, Nintendo Revolution. So they've got a fair bit of time, and they've got a big head start to get the software out there, to kind of get the support and get a third-party manufacturers making really good add-ons for it. So they're in a good position, but they've got to be careful not to kind of waste their advantage at the moment.
Talking of good positions, iPod has become the generic term for an MP3 player. There's been lots of different iPod killers have come out, but the Creative, the new one, does look rather good, and you review it in the February edition, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We were lucky enough to get an advanced sample of it, so we managed to get into that issue. And it's very good. It's very, very good indeed. It really, really kind of runs the iPod close. Probably not quite up there with it in terms of video quality and just pure kind of desirability. But the amount of formats you can get on there, there's so many more formats it supports over the iPod, which supports a couple of video formats, whereas the Creative will support several, you know, I think there's about five or six. Mm.
But you said in your December podcast, the first one, I think it was Tom who was saying that the iPod video is great, apart from the fact getting the video onto it is a real pain in the pinny. And the Creative is going to be much easier, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is so much easier. I mean, it supports formats that your computer kind of understands, whereas the iPod is a little more esoteric, shall we say. And so it is basically a case of just literally dragging and dropping files onto it, and it'll play them out of the box. The iPod's just that little bit more comfortable, that little kind of a little bit easier to use. Although the interface is getting really similar now, it's almost kind of in the territory that if you've used an iPod, you can use a Zen straight away. But yeah, I mean it's a really close race. It depends really. If you're a Mac friendly person, then you probably prefer the iPod. If you're PC friendly, then you probably prefer the Zen.
But I guess the other thing is, just looking at Stuff magazine is a great example of it. If you just flick through the pages from beginning to end, they're just far more accessories for the iPod, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, because it's become the kind of the name, and it's become a byword for MP3, everyone wants to make it to kind of to complement it. I think it's something like, I don't even know the exact market share. I think it's got to be coming off of 70-75% of the market. You know, everyone owns an iPod, more or less. And because of that, manufacturers are going to make more accessories for it because there's just that big, much bigger market for it.
The other thing which has changed with Stuff magazine is the Stuff internet page as well, your website presence, which once upon a time was low-key, but now every day you're adding stuff to the pages.
Yeah, absolutely. We've ramped that up. We've put a lot more people onto it. And basically we've got four people working on it now full time, plus more in the pipeline. So the sheer volume of stuff, we get new stories all the time, and it's sometimes difficult to get them in the magazine. This is a really, really good route of putting things that maybe we can't fit in the magazine out there and allowing our readers to kind of get hold of them. And it's going to develop as well. It's planned for a relaunch at some point this year, and it's going to be a site better than it is at the moment.
But you are getting new things on every day. Is there a risk that people will just use the site and then not subscribe to the magazine?
I don't think so. I think we're offering different things, really. The website isn't purely product-driven. It's kind of it deals with a lot more opinion, and we get reviews on there quickly, but we get more thorough reviews in the magazine. And people are always going to... People like to pick something up and read it. A website is very nice, and it's great to get the information, but a magazine is something, you know, you can take on a train journey, and you could argue you could take the internet with mobile phones, etc. But it's just a kind of... It's almost a more traditional thing. I think people still appreciate kind of the feel of a good magazine. And, I mean, basically, there's just that little bit more information on there. These are quick news stories that get the information out there, whereas the magazine deals with it in much more depth.
It's the UK's biggest-selling gadget magazine. It's also one of the highest-rating gadget podcasts, and it's also got a great website. Where's the website again, Mike?
It's www.stuffmag.co.uk.
Mike Brook, editor of Stuff magazine, thank you. And that's it for G3 for this month. Hope you've enjoyed the items we've covered in the last 30 minutes. Don't forget the website, which you'll find at www.bfbs.com/G3. That's letter G and then number 3. There you can subscribe to the podcast, so every time there's a new program, it'll come straight onto your PC and then onto your MP3 player. And you can also listen again and follow the links to everybody we've spoken to. Any questions, drop me a line, dave.raven@bfbs.com. Until the February edition, thanks for listening. Speak to you next month. Bye-bye.
units of audio output. Terminate, terminate, terminate. Automatic.